In
Oh,
January,
I am
more than
listening to
100
it.
workers threatened
So
to
you know
commit
when we go on.
suicide in
Oh, I can
protest
mute
at
that?
working conditions and low
Yeah,
wages
you do
at
a
a
local
Foxconn
mute.
factory.
Yeah, but then I
Both
don't think it'll be
Apple and
recorded, and I
Foxconn
like
have
recording
promised to
talking
improve
over
working conditions by next year.
okay.
Xukua Chung, FSRN,
I
Beijing.
turned it mute because it
Demonstrations are
messes with my
continuing
brain.
across the US for Trayvon Martin, the teenager killed over a month ago in
So how you
Sanford,
been, man?
Florida.
It's been
The
been good.
17-year-old was
Since
shot dead
we
by
talked? Been busy
self-appointed
working
neighborhood
on the new
watchman George
cast.
Zimmerman on February
I know,
26th.
man. And jeez,
On
I don't
Thursday
know how you do
evening,
it. You got
5,000 people took
all
part
sorts
in a
of
march
we'll
in
chat about
Minneapolis
that.
to protest
I've been
the killing.
watching this
As
old
has been the case
70s,
with
60s,
several
and 70s cop
demonstrations
show
since
called
the
Adam 12. You
Many
ever seen it?
participants wore hoodies as a show of solidarity
No,
with
but I think
Martin,
they have it
who
on
was
Hulu
wearing
now.
a hooded top when he was
Yeah,
killed.
It was. You should check
it.
out
a
an
police
episode
video
of it.
George
It's
Zimmerman has
I
raised
watched it
doubts
as a
about
kid.
his
It's
claim
really.
to
It's
be
like a
attacked
comic.
by a
It's almost comical,
Zimmerman
but
was
not
taken
meant to
into
be.
custody following the
Because the
shooting,
cops are
but later
so
released
polite
without
and
charge.
professional, and like,
He told police he was
you
forced
know,
to
never
defend
rough
himself
people up
after being
and.
attacked and badly injured. But in
What's
the
the
video,
point of the name?
Zimmerman does not appear to show
Adam
signs
12.
of
It's their car
well,
number,
injury.
Like A12. It's their
More than
car
2 million people have signed a
Okay.
petition
They
calling
have a
for
weird
Zimmerman's
phonetic
prosecution.
alphabet that's not the
Thousands of
NATO
people
one.
are expected to attend a
Like,
rally
I
in Sanford
think
on
LAPD
Saturday.
made up their own one. It's all names like
The
Adam,
U.S.
Mary.
Food and Drug Administration has until tomorrow to decide
But
whether
it
to
was the
ban
first
a
police
controversial
procedural
chemical
show, and it was
used
really,
in food and drink packaging.
like, accurate as far
Bisphenol
as
A,
like the
better
way the
known as
equipment
BPA,
worked and the
has been
procedures they
implicated in a
did.
wide range of health
Except I was
problems,
probably inaccurate
including
because they
asthma
weren't
and
beating anybody
diabetes.
up.
BPA is used in glass containers and in the lining of some
Yeah,
tin cans.
at least they didn't show
It's
any
a
of it.
hormone disrupting
But it was
chemical,
kind of like,
and some
I'm
studies
going
have
back
found
and
that
watching
when
it
used
because
in
it's funny,
packaging,
and it's also
it can
because it
leach
was
into
like,
food and drink.
You know,
the
the
Natural
TV was my
Resources
babysitter
Defense Council,
when I was that
which
age because my
campaigned
parents
against
were working.
BPA, filed a petition with the federal government
it
in
was like,
2008 to ban the use of the chemical when it comes into contact
You know,
with food.
I'm looking at it to see
After
like
the government
what
failed
helped
to
form
respond,
my view
the
of
campaign
authority.
Took them to court.
Yeah.
Last
you
year,
know, because
a
it was
district
on from
court
when
in
I was
New
like
York
5 to when
ruled
I was
that the
12.
FDA had until March
And I
31st
watched it a lot.
To make a decision on the ban.
Did you hate cops
The ban
back
is
then?
opposed by the plastics industry. Which
I
says
had
that
a
BPA
hate
is safe
slash
and has
like
been more
fear
thoroughly
respect
tested than
relationship
many
with them.
In San
At one point,
Francisco,
you thought
community
that only
groups
cops
are calling
should be
on the
allowed to
city's
carry
mayor
guns.
to support an ordinance to
Yeah, I
limit
thought that
the
a lot of
FBI's
my,
role
for
in
much
the
of my
police
life.
department.
Yeah.
Mayor Ed Lee
You know, I
has
thought
so
maybe
far
old
That's a scary
the
thought,
safe San
man.
You know, maybe I thought old
which
people
will
should be able to have a
San Francisco
22
Police
for
Department
hunting
to
rabbits
civilian
or something.
oversight. The ordinance was introduced
for telling them
widespread
damn kids to get off their lawn.
of a recently revealed agreement between the SFPD and the FBI. Under the 2007
we went to Denny's this morning for
understanding,
breakfast, and I felt
local
really
police
old
officers
because we were
authorized to break
state the only other people
laws
there
while
were
carrying
like
out intelligence
over 80.
Gathering activities on behalf
Yeah, that's
of the
how it
FBI.
Is when we go to the
Zahara
pancake
Ballou
house here.
Is executive director of the San Francisco branch of the Council on
And
American
there's
Islamic
our Denny's
Relations.
Here in
she
Richland.
Says the
it has
so
a bar in
it.
I've never seen
community members to talk
really?
About the ordinance.
We know
like
the
it's got
FBI
a separate room that's like dark and got like you know Budweiser posters and flat
bending the law.
The Department of Health and Human
Sunday
Services has
a
issued a new ban
and
preventing
my
the
wife
nation's
like, you know, that's
from
actually
any
really
further
genius,
use
because what
of
do you
tanning
do after
salons.
You go to the bar?
The ruling was
you go
made
to
after
Denny's.
A study found that saunas are exposed to
vertical
roughly
integration,
5,000
yes.
times more UV radiation each
shop.
Year than the average American.
Drunk and then get your
they
hash
are
browns.
At a very high risk of developing melanoma and orangey leathery
right,
skin. Saunas,
a little bit, right?
You are tan.
Yeah, I can't mute it on my end, or I might miss
the nation's
coming in.
Saunas have reacted negatively to the ban.
Although,
I don't care
no,
what
we
the
have,
government
we,
says.
Had
I just won
if
$15
I,
of
if I had an
scratches,
atomic clock.
So I'm getting a freaking tan. This sucks.
None of us have time for this. We've got Tammy's at home to rest.
You might get
In
drunk
an Onion News Network
program.
Poll of Shaunas across the country, more than 30%
well, you know, smoke
argued
detectors
that a pale
have
complexion
some nuclear
will negatively affect the size of their tips at Ruby
you know
Tuesdays. And more than half
yeah.
have said that their boyfriend's kind of Dennis liked them tan.
So does the site on my clock.
And he's the father of their second child, so they want him to stick around.
So, you know, there's nuclear material in work. My house and most houses. So we're on here, Freedom Fiends Live. How you doing there, Nina Vidotti?
Doing good, I'm Fiends. It's where freedom lives.
The call-in number.
Oh, it's Freedom Fiends Live, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's the live studio number here is 307-215-5170. That's 307-215-5171. Talk a little bit, Nima.
Talk a little bit. Well, yeah. I'm just glad to be here live with you again. This is our third show. Of course, if you talk about Freedom Fiends, we've just passed our 1 year anniversary. So, Woo-hoo! As your wife said, the pod kitten has turned into a podcat.
I like that. That's funny.
I like
That's
that a lot.
Funny.
Way to go, DJ.
That's funny.
Racist.
That's funny.
Yes.
So I think,
so
I got this.
We're just going to be on here. Got the what? The what? Got a call? Got a call?
No, I think
once,
I hooked the
twice.
Call up. I think I hooked it up right. I forgot to do. I'm in low gear today, man. But I'm gonna wake up as a fiend's calling and wake me up.
Yeah. Well, you've been stretching yourself thin. You got your new podcast, your side project, Anarchy Gumbo.
Yeah.
Which I advise everybody to go check out the interview with Michael and Stefan Molyneux. Man, that was probably the world's best podcast in the world to date, I think.
Yep. And I like that Nima's so open-minded. A lot of people be like, what are you doing? You're doing a side project. I'm jealous. But, you know, I love you, Nima. And the Fiends are my true love with media. And the Anarchy Gumbo podcast is just some filthy little whore on the side.
No, I don't hate. I mean, and honestly, when you brought it up to me, I'm like, okay, great. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell you, no, Michael, you cannot do other things on the side. I mean, it's not like we have any kind of contractual obligations to only ever do one thing. And, you know, I've got a day job, so I spend my time not doing anything productive as far as liberty goes. But you don't. So, you know, you've got other work to do. And if you feel like you need to do some other liberty freedom stuff, man, go for it. And in the end, I think it does nothing but helps the Fiends, because it's going to bring more people to the cause, especially when you're reaching out, talking to new people. You know, their audience might not have heard us before, and then they hear you and they check us out.
Yeah. And the intro, for my show says Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. So there's that.
Yes. Yes. So that is your new title.
Yep.
So, yeah, definitely. I really loved the Stefan Molyneux podcast, especially the end where he sort of brings it all home and says basically that
he got really angry worrying. At
you know,
the world.
There's tons of tyranny today.
I've never heard him like swear.
He got angry at the world, but he was hopeful too.
Yeah,
he was basically saying it's like a game of chicken. The statists are playing full speed ahead. You know, they've never had this kind of technological advances in the world where they can monitor us, drone us. They basically have so much of an upper hand when it comes to tyranny. But we in the liberty movement and people in general have never had the communication ability that we have now. So it's like we each have these brand new awesome tools, and it's just a matter of if they win, you know, things could be really bad. But if we win, things could be better than they've ever been either.
Yes.
So very, very hopeful, I guess, if you're an optimist like me and you think we're going to win. So
good for you. Good for you and you young people. You young whippersnappers like you and Stefan Molyneux.
Well, it's not just the youngins.
I'm kidding.
I mean,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding that I'm kind
how
of
do you
not.
Feel? Do you really think?
I'm curmudgeonly.
I guess my point is.
Go ahead.
Right. Well, my point is that on a long enough timeline, I think liberty always wins, because it's true. It is self-evidently true that violence and aggression are wrong and don't add any benefit to society. I mean, it might benefit the aggressor in the short term, but there's always unintended consequences, and it doesn't benefit society as a whole. So I think once enough people figure that out, once we get rid of the mindset for the state, it'll happen eventually, because it's the truth. Just like we figured out that the sun rotates around, or the earth rotates around the sun and not vice versa. Eventually people figure out the truth, and it becomes widespread enough to where that's just how it is. That's just how it works.
I think in a long enough timeline, it's going to turn into Planet of the Apes with us all in chains.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about the monkey aspect.
Yeah.
We really got to keep an eye on them.
Yeah. So,
although it more likely it'd be Planet of the Cats, since they already have us under their control.
So we're setting up a new little thing here called the Freedom Fiends Drone Proof Bunker that is in Prague. It's a server farm buried in a mountain in the side of in a building under a mountain in Prague, Czech Republic. And a friend of ours, a fan, is, I don't know if he wants his name used or not. I'll use his internet handle, because he said to use that on the website, AIDA. Twitter is AIDA underscore AIDA, of our secret Czech friend who's put up all the Freedom Fiends episodes and the Guns and Weed movie and a bunch of torrents on a FTP site. And we built a little one-page interface for it that kind of looks like it kind of looks like a 1995 AOL homepage, kind of as a joke, but it's real. It's not an April Fool's joke. And we're getting the domain. He's registering right now the domain name. I won't give it out yet, though, but it's well, I will. It's freedomfiends.com. No, because someone might scoop us on it. He's registering now. Yeah. But it's going to be cool, and it's going to be out of the jurisdiction of American Affairs, because the .cz domain, top-level domain, is not hosted by Internic. So it would take, like, NATO to remove this. You couldn't just have, you know, the American feds make a phone call like they could with
our new website. Although I wouldn't put it past NATO, though.
But you should check it out. Pardon the pun.
Yeah.
So, oh, Nima. Did we get a call?
No, that was an email. Aww. It was all sorts of...
I'm like a dog. It's like Pavlovian at this point.
Okay, he wrote me, and he said it usually takes between 30 minutes and 24 hours. Oh, please don't try to open it up or it'll set up your... Okay, never mind. I'm not going to give out... He said, don't click on it or it'll mess it up and tell you... Okay. All right.
So don't try it out. Don't check it out.
Yeah. So, So, April Fools. We're not really doing that. So, there you go. I was
worst
gonna, you know,
April Fool's joke ever.
We thought about starting this episode with like Nima not being on for the first segment and me like gravely saying that you'd been droned or were in, you know, military detention or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm sure your thought was like, wait, I like it, but why me? Why not you, Michael?
Because I'm the brown one.
Yeah,
that's how it works anyway.
Well, I was thinking it's because I have the phone call in set up, but yeah, because you're the brown one.
There you go. Either way.
Because you got a funny name.
I don't know. I was never big on doing the April Fool's jokes. I appreciate a good one. I really do. I just, I don't know. I guess I don't have that killer instinct in me to make somebody feel awful.
Yeah, I like
say, light, jokes on you.
I like lighthearted ones like the Google ones. Like today's Google, if you go to search and then go to advanced search, there's an option for really advanced search, and it's got all these like ridiculous parameters that no one would ever enter, like you know, page contains words that sound like, resemble, are rhyming slang of, contains MIDI files of klezmer polka music, you know, just
right
stuff that wouldn't
cock ring size of webmaster.
yeah Well, they didn't do that, but they should. That's what we'd put. But basically, when I was about 21, when I was on tour with a rock band, this is the only real April Fool's joke I've ever tried. It just soured me on them. I called my dad from my first tour on my first time I ever toured from like Salt Lake City, and called him collect on the phone and said I was in jail. And it wasn't funny. It wasn't fun. And he was really worried. And, a minute, I gave him about a minute and then told him April Fool's. And he's like, okay.
The first April Fool's joke I can ever remember doing was I was in second grade and my teacher, we had these things in our school. It was like a pink note or something like that. Kind of like a pink slip. It was whenever you did something really bad, that's what you got. You had to take that home. Oh, well, I guess I'll finish that up on the other side of the break.
Happy Feeniversary, Nima.
Happy Feeniversary, Michael.
Worms. Worms, 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 worms.
Worms, 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 worms.
Hi, I'm Nima Vidotti from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about...
Yo, Nima. Ah.
Welcome back to The Thing, as Scott Horton says. Although he's a little bit more low-key. Yeah, on anti-war radio, whenever they come back from a break, he's like, all right, y'all, welcome back to The Thing.
I'm interviewing Scott Horton tomorrow for the Gumbo, the Anarchy Gumbo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm stoked about that, too. He's... Yep. Probably my most listened to podcast nowadays is Anti-War Radio, Scott Horton.
Excellent.
He's so smart, but so laid back about it. Like, he's just like, come on, y'all. This is idiotic. You know? He's like, not trying to scare you, but he just tells it like it is.
And it's scary. Because how it is scary these days.
Yeah, it is. But, oh well. You know, sometimes I do stew in my libertarian juices. I didn't used to as much, but I guess ever since you told me that phrase, it's been happening more and more where I'm just like, ugh, tyranny. What am I going to do?
Wonder if people can hear the wind. I have my window open. It's 75 degrees here today. I'm sitting here in my underwear with a cat on my lap. That sounds wrong.
Nice. Yeah, it does sound wrong.
It sounds illegal. That's probably illegal in California and D.C. and the District of Columbia. So talk about these law enforcement cards, man. And let me get the call-in number again. It's 307-215-5171. That's 307-215-5171. Or Skype to username kittyfeet1.
Right. Okay. So talk about these cards. These cards, man. So apparently there's a website that's been operating for a while now, and they do these things. They sell what they call LEO Pro cards, which
law
I always
enforcement.
Really get – yeah, law enforcement officer, I guess, is what LEO stands for, and I've always really hated that acronym. I don't know why. It's just –
because it sounds like Leo, like we're a friendly lion.
Right. I'm a friendly lion. Yes.
He's going to
obviously
eat you.
They're predators like lions, so – maybe it's not such a bad acronym. But anyway, this company, they sell these things. They're not an official government organization. They're just private dudes trying to make some money. And they're these cards you can buy for your family. And your family can then hand them out to people to show that their daddy is a cop or their mommy is a cop. And you get your free donuts, or a cop pulls you over and you hand them out to them. In the testimonials, it's like, yeah, my wife got pulled over and handed this out. And all she got was a warning. Thumbs up. Thank you, LEO Pro. So
basically it's a card saying you're royalty and should not be treated like everyone else because you're above the law because your uncle or husband is a cop.
Exactly. And that's what immediately came to my mind when I read about these is I felt like – it's like Will Grigg says. You know, this is a card to prove that you're not a mere mundane. You're part of the anointed class of law enforcement officers, like they're knights in, you know – feudal England or something.
Though, I mean, the whole thing is totally ridiculous that anyone should get granted anything, or that, you know, most of the things that you'd pull that card out for would be stuff that in LibPair you wouldn't get pulled over for anyway. But the thing is, I look at that site and I don't see anywhere where it says you have to prove to order them. You don't have to prove, you know, there's no anybody could get them. So it doesn't, they have no meaning.
Well, it says they're sold only to members affiliated with the law enforcement industry, federal, state, municipal, corrections.
But I didn't see any, like, prove or say the name of your loved one or anything like that. Whereas, like for instance, on Police One, the website where anybody can read it but only cops can post on it, you have to prove you're a cop. You have to say you're, like, you know, sign in and show the webmaster your rank, name, and serial number, and then they look you up in a database and then confirm it's you and call your commanding officer or things like that, you know.
Ah, I see. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't go through the process of trying to buy them because I wouldn't want to ever advertise.
I just was checking. I went up to a point, but yeah.
Right, right. I know there's a site when I was looking for another handgun. I wanted to get a small Glock, and there was a site that was selling them way cheaper than everywhere else. But the catch was you had to have like your superior officer at your law enforcement agency fax over your credentials so you could get the discount. And I was like, man. That's so lame. I mean,
cops
don't
get guns
free
cheap.
Guns anyway. Plus, they're going to be buying those cheap guns with money they stole from us in the first place. How fair is that?
I know. Well, the thing about these courtesy cards is it's not a new concept. I was watching this cop show from the 60s, Adam 12, and somebody tried to pull out a courtesy card, and the cops were like, why would anyone think this would work? You know, and it was like the same morning, like I saw that. And then a few hours later you sent me this and it was like twice in one day. And I'd never heard of the concept before, but.
Well, I bet in that show, since it's older and it's obviously trying to paint cops in a good light, I bet they never pull people over for stupid stuff. They're probably always like trying to solve murders or something.
Yeah, so. I want to talk about that show more on the Wednesday cast because I have a lot of fun stuff to say about it. I mean, it was kind of part of my formative view of authority as a kid because I was parked in front of the TV. My parents were out working from like, you know. I was a latchkey kid in kindergarten, you know, so it was like this show was on from when I was 5 to when I was 12 and I watched it every day because it was exciting. It was the first police procedural show, you know, and it where they like show what the cops do in their day. I mean, there was Dragnet before that, but that was a detective thing and it was more well, it wasn't as like cut and dry procedural. I mean, Adam 12 painted the way for like the Shield and, you know, CSI, that kind of stuff, like where they show cops doing what they do. But yeah, I mean, I remember this one episode. I mean, this shows my disrespect for authority at a young age. I remember this one episode. I'm still waiting for this. I'm going through all the seasons of it because it's a funny show. It's so, I mean, everything procedurally and all the equipment is accurate, but the way the cops act is not accurate. I mean, the procedures that they have when they're being good are accurate, but they never initiated, you know, they do bust people for weed and for drugs. But other than that, when they're, all they do is protect people. All they do is protect and serve. They don't arrest people when they could. They, you know, help babies out of fires and they have like, I mean, they do like six heroic life threat, you know, life endangering heroic things per shift. And they always, right. And they always get there while the crime is in progress. You know, they never show up like later. They always show up and intervene. And they, whenever they go to a domestic dispute and the couple's ready to kill each other, by the time the cops leave, the couple is hugging and they're all happy.
Right. Planning on having a new baby and all this great stuff.
Yeah. But I remember this one episode that really like burned into my brain, and I've thought about it many times since, and I'm waiting for this one to come up. There was one where they were busting these hippies or going to the – there's always – in this show, there's always complaints. Old people are always calling 911 and saying, those hippies next door are blah. Because it was the 60s and 70s, and like, you know, they hated hippies, and hippies were the problem, and they were trying to show that with this. And they went.
Why were people so upset with hippies? I kind of don't get that, because weren't hippies just kind of like, leave us alone? I mean, I know they sort of morphed into something different, but it seems like the initial impetus was to just get away from the system and be left alone and do your own thing.
Well, I don't know. Why do people mind welfare mothers? They just say, give me money and leave me alone. The hippies kind of said, a lot of them were like, give me money and leave me alone. They had a lot of them had an entitlement. I mean, part of it is like, okay, it was the generation after World War II. Before that and during World War II, there was a lot of austerity and people had to have rationing cards and people didn't have a lot of money. Boy, we talked about this a lot. Anyway, so this scene, I love this scene where he tells the hippie chick to pour her wine out. And she's really drunk and she pours it on the cop's shoe. And I remember being like, that chick's hot. I want to meet a chick like that when I get older.
Hell yeah. Free love.
And disrespect.
Wine-flavored lube.
And disrespect for authority.
Right. Sexy.
Worms, 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 worms.
SurvivalGearBags.com is run by someone who believes in and adheres to the non-aggression principle. SurvivalGearBags.com's main focus is to help you build your own custom emergency kit with high-quality gear. SurvivalGearBags.com is known for great customer service and a personal touch. They handle all customer service in-house. Mention Freedom Fiends for a free gift with your order. SurvivalGearBags.com. That's SurvivalGearBags.com.
Yeah. Should you be able to earn an honest living free from...
Yo.
If they say, hey, you want to talk to us? Got some time, buddy?
No.
Yeah. We're just talking
in the
break.
Can we search your car?
No.
Just say
we're just talking in the break about how someone wrote us and said that some cop friend of theirs wants to use as a ringtone something from our movie, you know, where it's me saying, on your knees, you dirty hippie.
Yeah, when you're playing Dan Banning, the evil cop.
You know, I'm so committed to my acting that I gained 20 pounds for that role.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
That's how I'm sticking to that.
That's the story, and you're sticking. That's the ticket. Yeah.
Yeah.
You all this weight for a role as a law enforcement officer.
As a fat, dumb cop. I don't think he's dumb. He reminds me of the guy on Breaking Bad, the cop on there, who's not really dumb. Yeah. He's not really dumb. You know, he's not as brilliant as his brother-in-law, but he's you know, he kind of wants to be a detective. You can tell, like he's above average IQ by a few points, but not much.
Not stupid. He's just in the wrong place.
Yeah,
he's a statist. He's part of the state. And I think maybe you wanted to talk about that distinction that Bad Quaker's been making between the government and the state.
Can you imagine what Hank Schrader or Vic Mackey would do if they were busting you and you pulled out a law enforcement courtesy card and handed it to them? They'd shove it up your nose.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd probably stomp you in the nuts.
They'd stomp you in the nuts.
Stomp them in the nuts.
Yeah. So talk about the difference between the state and the government as per Bad Quaker, and I agree.
Well, Bad Quaker's been positing this important distinction that the state is really the mind state of people that believe in the concept that certain individuals have the right to aggress upon us and use the force of the state in order to control society and bend it to the will of, I guess,
the collective.
The collective. There you go.
That's See, you got to be careful with that word because that's one of the ones that sets off the feds and they go, oh, you're one of them if you use the word collective.
The collective.
Yeah, well, there was some the Libertarian Party, a guy who helps run the Libertarian Party in Wyoming in 2001, shortly after 9/11, they went and talked to him because 6 months earlier he'd written a letter to the local paper ranting about the government. And he'd use the word the collectivist mindset. And there was someone who'd bombed somebody who'd used that same term. So they thought he must – it wasn't even those two words. It was just the word collectivist made them think he was a mad bomber.
Of course. Back to the kindergarten mentality.
Yeah. Punish the whole class. Yeah.
Right. But then again, the government – Bad Quaker posits is different because the government is the actual people. You know, it's your clerk in your DMV. It's the DMV itself. It's
the buildings, the laws, the paychecks, the cop cars, the equipment, all the fancy stuff they have, the Bearcats. That's the government. The state is the mind, the collective hive mind that holds it all together. And actually, you could have the government for a minute without the state. Like if everyone just woke up one day and said, I don't like the state, the government would probably still exist for about 3 days until it just collapsed and they auctioned it off. And, you know, get your Glock, get your Bearcat. Who will bid on this Bearcat?
Right. Well, I was trying to come up in my mind with why it's important to make that distinction. Cause I was like, okay, yeah, I guess I could see
it is.
Making that distinction. But why do you think it's really important, Michael? Or do you?
Because that's the only – the state, the mindset is the only thing you can battle. You can't battle the government. People who are supporting Ron Paul are battling the government. They're trying to put the one good guy in there. You know, who was the Greek who said he – the Greek that walked around in a vow of poverty wearing a barrel for clothes, holding up a lantern looking for one true man? Well, they found their one true man, Ron Paul, and they think that putting in the one true man – you know, like putting in one cell that's not cancerous in this giant cancerous body will cure it. No, it'll just make that cell cancerous or just it won't even matter that there's one cell that's not cancerous. But that's the government. You can't fix the government. You can fix the state, though. There's a Simpsons where you ever seen the one with advertising where Lisa and this ad jingle writer write this song about ignoring ads and everybody ignores ads for a day and all the obnoxious ads just go away. You know, it's kind of like if you don't believe in the monster, if you don't look at the monster, it can't hurt you.
Right. Right.
If everybody quit backing the state, the government would have to go away or become privatized.
Right. And so that's why it's important. It's because it's the practical – if we think about it practically and this fight for freedom we're all sort of involved in, then that is our target. Our target is the state or what we sometimes call horizontal enforcement. Or, you know, I think it's really important to tie this back to what Stefan Molyneux was saying in your cast with you the other night that, you know, you don't necessarily need to be attacking the supply side of the government and the state and aggression. You need to be attacking the demand side. You need to be getting people to not want the government in their lives. You need to make people not want the government to steal our money and hand it out to other people. Once that happens, then the government starts shrinking. Then there's a rapprochement. Then the state falls away and people live voluntarily rather than under, you know, force in a tax livestock kind of system.
Yes. Yes.
And Michael is checking his inbox.
No, I'm looking at this article, How to Speed Up DNS Propagation, that I want to send to Vaclav. Oops, I said his name. Sorry. to our yes.
You can just bleep that out for the regular recording.
It's live, man. There's no beeping. No fucking beeping.
We're so gonna get kicked off now.
No, we're not. Because the clean mouth pirates are no longer pirating.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So that interview with Stefan Molyneux, I did. Several people have said it's the best interview he's ever done. It was more of a conversation than an interview, which is that's what I say for the gumbo, is it's more of a conversation than an interview, which basically just means I ask people questions, but then I get to give long responses and they shouldn't be shocked.
Right, right.
I get to show my brilliance.
It's very laid back, and like you say, it's just you up late at night calling other libertarians and BSing about freedom and apparently sex. You and Molyneux had a pretty interesting exchange there about sex.
Kinky sex.
He was trying to – yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to hear Stefan Molyneux talking about kinky sex, go check out kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
And I'm sure we all do, but you sort of had called him out because he almost tried to pigeonhole there for a little bit, BDSM or kinky sex or whatever it is, as being a sort of an unhealthy thing, or maybe not necessarily unhealthy itself, but
indicative of. He said, yeah, he was like, have you been abused as a kid? And I was like, well, once. Yeah. And he's like, I knew it. You know, I mean, go listen to the whole thing. It if you want to hear it. And this part starts in about 55 or 58 minutes in and goes on for about 20 minutes. And basically I catch him in a logical fallacy and he agrees and says, well, I'll go read more information and maybe I'll change my mind. And I want to congratulate you on bringing up a topic I've never been asked. And I said, that's right. The point of this podcast.
That's the beautiful thing about Stefan is he's not like Bill O'Reilly. You know, he's when you bring up a point,
not at all.
When you bring so up many a ways. Point, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is he's not stubborn. If you bring up a point and logic wins out, he respects logic and reason and evidence more than he respects his own ego. To where, by far, to where if somebody brings up a point and he, you know, mulls it over in his quick thinking mind, is like, oh, okay, you know, there might be something to that. I might have to rethink my position. And I think that's important for all of us. I mean, we might think something is 100% true one day, but if we get new evidence, if we hear new logic or new reasoning, then we need to evolve. And I think it's really important to have that as part of the liberty movement, or else we're going to end up being like, you know, the leftist movement, where all of a sudden somebody who believes in our ideas or pays lip service to them gets in power, and then we just bow our heads and pay homage and stop fighting for freedom and just are happy that our guy's in power.
Yep, and we're headed to a break here. You know, one of the main complaints about him is that he's a cult leader, which was wrong, and it was based on a BBC bullcrap article about an 18-year-old kid who left home, as 18-year-old kids do, after listening to Stefan Molyneux. Another thing is he said that feminism is socialism with panties, which I thought was really funny, but he got...
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving
I call this music the Ghostbusters theme. Nima's Ghostbusters theme. It reminds me of Ghostbusters.
I think it's yours.
So I said I really like this guy Raja Mojo because he sounded like John Lennon. Actually, the song it is John Lennon songs.
Did you know that he does two covers?
That's why it sounded like John Lennon to me.
From Mexico to Canada, our signal covers nearly all of North America.
So Nima,
all you need is a view of the southern sky, an affordable receiver,
socialism in panties.
Small as 30 inches. There are no monthly fees. Right. Learn more at sat.lrn.fm.
So what do you want to come back with on the next segment?
If you're a broadcaster or want to be one, this is a good delivery method for our content. See our coverage map and get
Brazil
details at sat.lrn.fm.
Microchips children to curb truancy. Do you read that?
LRN.fm. Yeah, I read that. We can
Frank sent me that.
Yeah. Why did you move to the Shire?
I didn't read the article, did you?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it.
In Ian's interview with me, he tried to get me to move to New Hampshire. I'm like, no.
Immigrating to the Shire was easy. I was instantly plugged
in. It's fine.
I
think
that's just his default position.
It is.
I think he tries to get everybody that's in a will to do something about it.
Which is why people say he's a cult leader.
People here are awesome, loving, and positive.
When I was doing the interview with him, I posted on Facebook, anybody got any questions for him? I'm interviewing Ian Freeman. Someone said, ask him what it's like to be a cult leader. I'm like, what is it with like anybody who's popular? You call him a cult leader.
Learn the reasons why. If you love liberty, you should immigrate
to the
Shire. I
guess it's just defensiveness. Plus, it's haterism, man. They're just Shire Society. Yeah. They wish they could have people believe in them enough to listen to what they say.
Now that you've found the Liberty Radio Network,
we have a lot of people that believe in us, but no one would ever accuse us, and especially me, of being a cult leader, because I don't like people enough. I'm like, get away. Stop bothering me. Ugh, the world. People are horrible.
You can print out and distribute banners.
I don't really believe that, but I am... I could never have the amount of contact with people that Stefan Molyneux has.
To the Liberty Radio Network.
As far as traveling and giving speeches, and meeting people and going to conferences.
Or even answering that many emails.
Are you on any medication?
Like,
are you getting your meds at a local pharmacy?
Buy my stuff and go away.
More than you have to. There's a better way. Discount Prescription Services.
You need a PR team, Michael.
Your meds at discounts as high as 70%, and they'll
do
it
out. We need someone with an MBA.
All you have to do
is go to meds. I think Mark's got an MBA. I think he went to school for marketing.
Become a member on the left-hand side of the page.
And Stefan was a businessman.
They will walk you through every step.
I don't like marketing.
Say, big time.
I like word of mouth. I mean,
me too.
I don't have anything against it. I just don't like being subjected to it.
760-569-7753. Yeah. That's 760-569-7753.
I never feel like pimping myself. I don't know what it is.
I have enough ego to pimp myself, but I just don't like people enough to... we're live. Hi. People are
Michael
horrible.
Talking about his big ego and how much he hates people.
Hello, the wonderful fiends. We're back, and we're happy to hear all these happy fiends out here. And for some reason, none of them are calling in. Maybe it's because I'm...
It's because you hate them. Nah, fiends. We's just playing. We don't hate you.
I ain't afraid of no fiends.
What's
that from? I ain't afraid of Ghostbusters?
I ain't afraid of no ghost, man.
Yeah.
It's Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You better check yourself.
No one's calling in. I can't figure out if I didn't hook it up right or just our 15 minutes of fame are over. I think that's it. If anyone tried to call in and can't, I couldn't get in on
email,
Skype.
Email us.
Yeah.
Talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Although I'll have to check it. Worms. So, Nina, talk about these microchips or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a little news piece to bring up here. Apparently in Brazil, it looks like in Victoria da Conquista. Yeah, how interesting is that? So in the Victory of the Conquest, Brazil, they've decided to microchip all the uniforms in the school so they can keep track of where your kids are. And they'll send the parents a text message if kids aren't in the right place. So take a potty break for too long, decide to go to the park instead of going and getting indoctrinated. Nope. Your parents will get a text. So treating people like little kitty cats with microchips in them. And I guess at this point it's not like a horrible tyrannical thing. I mean, they don't do it. I guess they stop when the kids turn 14 because I guess they're more grown up then. It'd be more of a obvious invasion of privacy. But I feel like it sets a bad precedent, microchipping people, for government officials and bureaucrats to know where they are at all times. Definitely not something I'd want to have happen. I mean, they people tend to say, well, you have nothing to worry about if you're not doing anything wrong, but I feel like that's a straw man. I mean, I think privacy is to be respected no matter what. I mean, there's just some things that I don't want people to know about me, and it's not necessarily because I'm embarrassed. It's just because I'm a private person. I mean, I do get on the radio and tell my business to everybody, but that's a voluntary action. If you forced me to tell you something about myself, I would not feel very inclined to give you the full truth. Just like when cops ask me if they can search my car, I tell them no.
So I'm just writing back and forth with Vaclav here in Prague in our drone-proof bunker. And you can all go now to freedomfiends.cz. That's freedomfiends.cz, which is our 1995 AOL homepage type repository of every Fiends episode, and you can download the Guns and Weed movie there free. Can you type it in, Nima? It'll go to a different address, but freedomfiends.cz. Check it out.
Freedomfiends.cz. I'm checking it out right now.
And this is out of the range of American jurisdiction. So
There it goes. Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Drone Proof Bunker, a repository for Freedom Fiends podcast and movie media.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So there you go. See, it's not that hard to set up a website. Michael did it with his friend while he's doing a live show. So
Yeah. Well, it's not hard to set up a website if you've done dozens of them before. And this guy is like uber smart geek, way beyond even my ability. So worms.
Yeah. Really awesome guy. Really thoughtful too. For the Freedom Fiends Fiendiversary, he spelled out Happy B-Day Fiends with bullets and made this nice little design and took a picture of it from up above and posted that on our Facebook. And that really touched me, man. I thought that was one of the best B-Day or anniversary gifts I've gotten.
Yes. I just posted this on Facebook. Our non-US Fiends Drone Proof Bunker. I love it. CZ. Isn't CZ a pistol manufacturer too?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if they're from the Czech Republic, though.
I think it's CZ Arms, maybe. Yeah. My buddy Lou's got a CZ. CZ 99. Zastava Arms. Serbia. They're Serbian. Well, you know, Glocks are made in Croatia. Do you know that? No, not Glocks. The ones that look like Glocks. What's the one I used to have? DJ, what's the gun I used to have?
Springfield? No.
Springfield Armory. Yeah.
Really? I thought that was like a bastion of made in America type stuff.
It sure sounds like it. I think it's an American company that's manufactured in Serbia.
Ah, okay. They had Croatia. To get away from all the unions and the minimum wage and the evil labor restrictions here in the States, I guess.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I really like the Freedom Fiends Drone Proof Bunker. Check the site out, y'all. It's freedomfiends.cz. And I tried my best from memory to remember how the internet looked in 1994 and made it look like that. I even like opened up the pictures in Photoshop and like made them like 16 colors instead of millions of colors. So they look kind of crappy.
Right. You downsampled them, as we would say in hip hop.
Yeah. Are you still on that page?
I just navigated away from it.
If you scroll down,
call me out on it, Michael.
Yeah, if you scroll down to the bottom of it, I have the Happy Birthday Fiends that Vaclav made for us, and if you look at it, it's got like weird artifacting in the right corner of it, which is how images looked back then. I've got a blink tag where it says bookmark this page, share with everybody. We're on a mission and you can help. The blink tag was like the first animation on the internet before there was any kind of moving anything. There was the blink tag and some browsers still support it, but it's considered so cheesy that the web design program Dreamweaver marks it as invalid HTML and tells you to remove it.
Nice, just because it's so lame.
Yeah, because it's so obnoxious.
Your programming is too lame for the internet. Please try.
I like in here too that I say, if you help share these files, you can get on the golden floppy disk of redemption. That's our master list of all the people that we will spare when we have our libertarian armies round everybody up for libertarian reindoctrination camps.
There you go. I don't see your little flash tab. I guess it was too late for Google Chrome. Yeah.
Google Chrome. Yeah, I'm looking in the other Firefox, and it's blinking where it says bookmark this page above the picture at the bottom.
Ah, I see.
So should we talk more about Adam 12?
If you want, man. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about cops trying to act like they're awesome.
Yeah, it was it was made in conjunction with the LAPD, you know, as technical advisors, but probably as
content advisors. Yeah, as well,
content advisors. The cops in it are totally, other than the drug arrests they do, which every time they go into some hippie drug den to bust it, they're playing this music really loud, which is usually how the neighbors complain to get the cops there in the first place. And it's always the same song. I think they like either saved money by using the same song over and over, or like the song was written by the producer's brother and he wanted him to make money every time it aired or something.
It was probably like one of the cops who thought he was cool who decided to play.
Well, it's really cheesy. It kind of sounds like the theme to Hawaii Five-O, but instead of being awesome like Hawaii Five-O theme, it's really lame.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But you know, in
is
this
it like reggae or is it
no?
Like-
it's like surf psychedelia.
Okay.
You know, like a girl would do the what's the dance? What's that 60s dance? The Watusi or something?
Man, I don't even know.
You're like, shut up, Grandpa Simpson. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you sound like some dude I saw at the bar in Denny's.
But the cops in this are really peace officer-ish. You know, they basically protect and serve. They go around saving people's lives and catching really, really bad guys. Oh, is that a call?
I think it's a call.
New contact request. Sure. I'll add you. add it to contacts. Okay, now I think Kevin, somebody's going to call us in here. But yeah, first of all, in the 70s, and this is accurate of what it was back then, the cop cars don't have a cage between the front seat and the back seat. And often when they arrest somebody, one of the cops sits in the back seat with him. They do not have bulletproof vests. There's when some guy was barricaded in a house shooting out the window, they get on the radio and they're like, have the watch commander bring us some vests and gas. And they bring them bulletproof vests. They don't even have them in the trunk. They have to get them because I guess they don't have enough of them. And the bulletproof vests back then looked like X-ray aprons, you know, the big lead ray aprons.
Yeah.
I mean, now cops get written up if they don't have their vest on under their shirt. But I guess the technology's changed, too, and the amount of money they can steal.
I would say that that's probably it. It's probably more the amount of money they can steal. They are so well equipped, man.
I know.
Every cop I've seen has, like, probably wearing $1,000 of gear on them at all times.
Oh,
or probably more.
Dude, their gun costs $1,000. They all have an AR-15 in the trunk, and the cop AR-15s have really fancy scopes. Those cost more than $1,000 each. All right. So, yeah. Back when cops protected and served, at least on TV.
At least on TV, yeah. They don't even do that on TV anymore.
I know. They talk about professionalism a lot in it, and there's no fat cops in Adam 12. They're all like young, handsome, Eagle Scout-looking guys that you could, you know, their haircut could stop up. You could set your clock to it. The show made a lot of people become cops, as does the show Cops now.
I am so excited about Pork
People
Fest this
actually
year.
Watch the
Pork
show
Fest?
Cops
What's
and
that?
Think, wow,
it's
I want to be a cop.
Freedom
yeah,
Festival.
I guess they'd rather be the cop than the crackhead.
Camping
again.
Event every summer by the Free State
Pays
Project.
Better.
This year it's going to be happening June 18th.
Till she was made their official.
I'm glad I found Adam 12 because, you know, I like cop shows, but I'm embarrassed to like them now because.
Here's a clip from that encounter.
You know, because they're all status. But this is so. This is like a cartoon that's got real people in it that's accidentally funny.
Just for fun.
You know, it's kind of the period between like, when it was going from like Andy Griffith to like Vic Mackey on The Shield. You know, this is the halfway point.
Yeah, they are beautiful.
Right. That makes sense. But even in Andy Griffin, I mean, wasn't Barney Fife like a laughing stock because he was a bad kind of cop?
Yeah, but no, both the cops in this are like Andy Griffith, but street smart. But the world is treating them like, you know, calling them pigs and stuff all the time.
Right.
And I'm like, really? Did everyone call the cops pigs to their face in the 60s and 70s? Maybe they did. I don't think people do. People don't do that now much. And if they do,
they'll just straight up shoot you now.
Martin Luther King leads a war protest of 5,000 people.
Like when they
throw a gun at you, and when you go to catch it, they'll shoot you.
I know. In this show, when people call these cops pigs, they're like, they kind of grit their teeth and look like, I don't deserve this, but they're respectful and they still don't arrest the person.
With Vietnam in the summer of 1965.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, they're like saving a baby from a drowning or a burning building where like the mother is passed out on heroin.
Strongly criticized by other prominent civil rights leaders for attempting to link civil rights and the anti-war movement. Here are some excerpts from a speech
Barack
he made
Obama,
that day.
Drone King
Poverty,
with the Peace Prize.
Yes.
That's going to be the one for the Wednesday episode. The one for today's episode is going to be Vaclav's happy birthday image.
That is at stake, but questionable and vague commitments to reactionary regimes. Values disintegrate into foolish and adolescent slogans. Those of us who
so what do you
want
to bring it back with on top of hour
effectively
two?
As the war hawks,
I don't know, man. You
as
talk.
They spread the propaganda of war.
We must spread the propaganda of peace.
I don't know about that. We talked about the microchips. We're done with that, huh?
Civil rights movement yeah, with we're the done peace with movement.
We How about the Michigan militia being acquitted?
We must work unceasingly yeah, Will, to reach
Will Grigg
a
had a good article about it where he says
of compassion,
he fears that now with the NDA environment or the NDAA environment
Those
and all
the
that
words of Martin Luther King,
the FBI is not even
going
to bother to take it to court because they're not
for
confident they're going to win anymore,
and
so they're just going to drone you first
visit
and ask
this
questions
episode's
later.
Page at fr33agents.com/FARA.
Okay, I just sent you something to read. It'll give me a chance to relax. It's a really, really good review of Guns and Weed from Amazon.
Check back tomorrow for more updates on the growing peaceful evolution happening around
I love doing
the
these Sunday casts, man.
FR33agents.com.
Why?
Because
they're just laid back?
Agent yeah. Jack, I'm not... I'm, and because they're a set time. It's the only time of my week I have to be at the same place laws. At the same time and do something.
Okay. A little bit of structure is nice.
Yes. Structure is good for you. You need structure.
This week, badly shaken researchers reported observing an osprey stalking, killing, and devouring an adult male lion.
Yeah. So I made a 60-second version of our Compliacin ad, and Ian has put it into the rotor.
To determine the new
nice,
predator-prey
nice
connections between the planet's
yeah,
billions of
for free.
Organisms.
Is there like a Freedom Fiends tag at the end of it or something?
No, but it's DJ's voice. It's obvious, and we can say right now, it's us. Give us credit. I think we're cool.
Recent reports yeah. of a deer seen grazing on a nest of squirrels in Wisconsin, as well as a claim made by a group of Japanese fishermen who say they witnessed 300 million krill devouring a 40-ton humpback whale. In other news, NASA acquires the moon for an upcoming Kennedy Space Center exhibit. A radio DJ invites the whole town to some bullshit, and assuming the mini universe's theory of quantum mechanics is accurate, the review you've just seen will remain relevant in another reality for all eternity. For more, visit theonion.com/newsbeat.
There's people listening.
Yo, yeah, yeah. Freedom no. fiends. What it do? We be fiending for the freedom. Those bumps are so sexy, man. I just want to like jam when I hear it. That's
what?
Good though. Gets
that
us,
music?
Gets us hype for the. Yeah, yeah. All of our yeah. bump music for the live show, man.
Yeah, it's all me. It's all me, man. Like, I'm sexy.
All you.
I'm weird. Fuck me. That was a t-shirt. I'm weird. Fuck me. You heard that?
Was it? No.
It should be a t-shirt. I'm weird. Fuck me. Because it seems like what a lot of people think. I love the thing Stefan Molyneux said about people, you know, people shouldn't be, and I don't know if I exactly agree with this, but I loved his wording of it. He said people shouldn't, you know, flaunt their sexuality or like have that be the basis of who they are. You know, like women who are, their whole thing is, hey, look, I've got a vagina. And he said, vaginas are as common as noses in half the world's population.
Right,
that's,
right.
That's funny. He said some funny things.
Yeah.
The only thing he said that I was like, I wish I'd said this later when I was listening to the playback was when I said, well, you know, BDSM is natural. I mean, cats, when they screw, they, you know, they bite each other on the back of the neck. And he said something fairly brilliant as a retort, but it was funny.
Well,
he said,
well, you don't lick yourself to take a bath, do you?
Right. And and I wish I'd thought to say, well, you don't know what my sex life consists of.
You don't know what my hygiene routine consists of. Okay, so here's one question I have. I hear BDSM all the time, but I don't know what it stands for. I think there's dominant and submissive in it and probably masochistic. What's the beef?
It's a bunch of different things. It's bondage, discipline, bondage. Submission, sadomasochism, dominant submission. It's like four clusters of different four and two letter things. It's basically inclusive of anything that's outside the norm of sexuality that involves any kind of power play, physical or spiritual or physical or emotional, physical or mental.
Got it.
I guess would be the easiest definition. Basically, it's where one person's telling another person what to do and they're doing it.
Yeah.
Which can even take outside the bedroom, like, you know, hey honey, get me a Coke. You know, okay.
Make me a sandwich.
You know, she would never say no. And, you know, I'll generally do it for her too. And it's a lot of people are creeped out by that. But if it's a loving, consensual, you know, it's like there's no violation of the zero aggression principle. It's like someone's agreed to give up some of their control to somebody else. Hey, baby, I love you. Bitch.
Hey.
She's laughing. So, all right. Yeah, I love that thing. Stefan Molyneux wrote an article about feminism is socialism with panties, and he got taken to task by – he got an angry letter from like 12 socialists – well, I don't know if they're socialists, but a bunch of feminists who were like, that's not funny. I'm like –
I think it's important in any movement. I think that's fine for groups to big up themselves, and if they want to do that, that's fine. Ups. It's just – don't ever use state aggression. See, and that's the big distinction everybody needs to make. You know, gather in your groups, talk about yourselves, explore your culture or whatever the case is. Just don't force other people. Don't force your beliefs onto other people. Don't force people.
And that's
to,
a problem
you
with things. You know, I can see why feminism would be socialism with panties because feminism often uses the state to try to balance inequities. But the problem is, it came from the state in the first place. The state enforced it. You know, they say like, well, without the government, how would we have ended slavery? And I say, without the government, we wouldn't have had slavery. You know, it was
Southern
sheriffs that were in the KKK was enforcing it and were preventing integration. You know, when Johnson had to send in – I'm sounding like an old man. When Johnson had to send in the National Guard back in you know, to integrate the schools forcefully in the South, the reason those schools weren't being – well, first of all, they were state schools, but, you know –
they were state schools, right.
And the reason that the state schools were refusing to integrate racially was because of Southern sheriffs who were members of the KKK by night.
Right. Not only that, but I mean – you think slavery could have existed if the runaway slaves, if running away from the plantation wasn't illegal? I mean, if you ran away from the plantation, the cops would come after you.
Yeah.
The cops are the government. They're the state. So if some guy said, hey, all you black people over there, I own you, the black people would just like laugh at him in lip pair and be like, all right, dude, you're weird.
Yeah, and the first gun laws, the first gun laws in America were to keep freed slaves from owning guns.
Right, right. Yeah. And although, you know, I haven't really looked at this historically, I almost want to say that there must have been some government involvement in sending ships over, you know, thousands of miles across the ocean to Africa to round slaves up. I mean, you couldn't have done that without a military. And also, weren't there power structures in Africa that actually would go out and round up the other tribe and force them into it, too?
Which is black
state.
Black people went out and captured black people and sold them out of Africa to other countries.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And again, that's the state because that is the people's concept in their minds that they have the ability or moral duty or even moral they're able to do that. They're able to control people, round them up, and one person has power over another. That's the thing we can fight and we will fight, and I think we can win.
We got a caller here.
Yeah.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. Who is this?
This is Lou from Michigan.
Hey, Lou.
The land where Porky Pig is banned.
Oh yeah, talk about the pig bans there. They're being racist with pigs. They're killing them based on their skin color, or their hair color.
Yeah.
Their hair color. It's serious.
I have not heard of that. What is that? Yeah. What's going on?
All right. Because there's a problem with feral pigs out in the wild. They have decided, and I would suspect that it's at the urging of the big pork farmers, that any of these pigs, I believe it's with red or black hair, something like that, they're actually going to go out to people's property and kill these pigs.
On other people's property. So,
who's going to go kill the pigs? The pigs?
No, yeah.
Enough of this pig-on-pig violence.
Pig-on-pig violence. Now, who's going out? Is it the game of the fish and hogs department or what?
I believe it's the DNR. The state calls them Department of Natural Resources, and most of us sportsmen refer to them as do nothing right.
Awesome.
Nice.
They're pretty much a mess. They came out with this quality game management thing few years back to where you can only shoot deer that have so many antlers. And one of my friends says, I've never seen a recipe for antlers.
Well, that's not new. They had that in New York State when I was a kid. I think they had to be 4-point or 6-point. Is that new there?
The second buck, I think it has to have at least 4 points on one side. So, I mean, I'm not really sure because I'm not that much of a deer hunter anymore. I mean, I go out every once in a while, and I'm good for the first hour, but after that, I'm snoozing.
Has Ted Nugent weighed in on any of the pig stuff or the pig-on-pig violence or the deer violence, or is he just living in Texas now?
I don't know. I really don't follow Ted Nugent. Since I started taking these anti-statist vitamins.
I know, it's hard to listen to that guy, man. But Nima and I still love the song Stranglehold.
Stranglehold, one of the best songs ever.
Old Fred Bear. Yeah.
Fred Bear.
Old Fred Bear.
Who's Fred Bear?
Yeah, it's like... he was a famous bow hunter. But anyway, Nugent did a song about him. And if you're like DJing at like a... 60s somewhat hippie bar and you got to go to the bathroom, it's a good 11 minute song.
That was when I was a college radio DJ, there was always the bathroom song. It was usually by Pink Floyd because they were always like 11 minutes long, you know. If you want to go out and go to the bathroom and run out and have a smoke and make a phone call on the pay phone because that's how you had to make calls in.
So Lou, I was wondering,
well, when I was living in Germany, it was November Rain.
Who's that by? Aerosmith?
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. Yeah, it's a big ballad. Yeah. I remember the video for that. It had like an orchestra playing in the rain and, the singer smashing up a hotel room because he's frustrated because he's not with his love. All right. We're,
His hot wife.
Yeah. All right. We're going to keep you on and have a little bit after the break here.
All righty.
Cool, man.
So Nima can hear me today?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. When I called in the first time, I think the NSA was jamming you.
No, it was just our technical. We didn't have enough wires and cords. That was jamming us.
Tired of that same old.
That was when Michael was duct taping the headphones to the microphone so we can hear you.
Stateless Sweets, government free, fetch caramel.
Good stuff.
It's the Stateless Sweets commercial.
Real ingredients and prepared fresh for delivery to your home. Order them as a gift, a well-deserved decadent treat for yourself, or cater.
DJ sounds so good. She sounds so professional and so much better than most women on the radio.
That's statelesssweets.com.
Can you hear the ads?
Theme parties are only we hear.
You want to bring us back here, Nima?
Yeah, Fiends. This is Freedom Fiends Live. You're listening to us. Call-in number is... What is the call number? 307-215-5171. Call us up in chat. We've got Lou back from the other side of the break from Michigan. You got any other tyranny to tell us about, Lou?
Oh, yeah. We got plenty of good stuff going on. Going back to, I think it's the last Fiends cast, and it's kind of a recurring thing. I shared a link to your Facebook wall. It was about the late 1800s, mid to late 1800s out in California during the gold rush, where they did not have government, and yet they were able to settle disputes. And I don't know if you read the whole thing. It's kind of long and it gets a little bit wordy and if they're trying to go to sleep, it's a great article. But you had very little crime there because you didn't have all the different, I guess, legal apparatus to facilitate crime. And they even spoke that, before the lawyers came in, you didn't have any problems.
Didn't they say kill all the lawyers in Shakespeare?
Yes, they did.
Reminds me of traffic, right? So there's places in Europe that have gotten rid of stop signs, stop lights, all the normal statist clover things, as Eric Peters would call them. And it requires people to be more aware of their surroundings. And it requires people to work together. So eye contact, you make eye contact with the guy across the intersection from you, and you communicate visually with them. So people work out their disputes and their problems on their own.
On the other hand, in London, it now costs $20 to come into the main city center, which is something they've added to try to keep the riffraff out. Like literally,
well,
like to
I,
go
I think
downtown,
keep everybody out
to go
we
downtown
go there anyway.
You have to pay $20 to go downtown. I think it's £20, which is like $30
to keep the riffraff out. Don't they still have Parliament there?
Yeah. They can afford it. They get it free.
And the royal family.
I know. Does the queen have to pay that to come in? Although she could say, well, I want to show that I'm like everyone else. So, you know, she'd pay it, but it's stolen money. Man, talk about a useless government bureaucracy. The royal family in England, like, they're not even involved in the sausage making anymore. And they still have this huge, you know, like, well, I was going to say, you know, royal like king like livelihood lifestyle, but it's not even king like. It's the queen. They treat her like a queen, and she doesn't even rule anymore. She's just a figurehead.
I don't even know what she does. What does she do all day?
She waves. She waves from a car.
I wouldn't be surprised if the royal family is still involved. One of my friends said something the other day. The queen has been on the throne for 60 years now. My legs fall asleep after 10 minutes.
Nice.
But going back to that article, the way to solve disputes, because you guys were talking about this in the last podcast, and this is something that people do on a regular basis. They go to somebody that they respect. Jefferson wrote about it as natural aristocracy, to where you get your position of respect, not because of birthright or screwing your buddy over to get to that position, but it's based upon your accomplishment and your virtue. You go to, you know, two people have a dispute, they go to somebody that they, you know, both agree upon as being respectable and wise and able to arbitrate this dispute. And they agree that, okay, you know, Nima and I are having a dispute, we go see Michael, and Michael's going to, you know, give a fair ruling or opinion, and we'll agree to abide by it. And I basically, when you look at how the state apparatus has increased and this Leviathan has grown, essentially, the main argument against our idea of LIDPAIR is that it relies on people to be good, honest, and cooperative. Okay, but the number one argument against the state is that it removes any incentive or reason to be good, honest, and cooperative. And it essentially gives you too many opportunities to screw everybody else.
Right. Because everything's bureaucratized. It's not based on actual morals or principles or even actual individual relationships. It's based on how a lawyer can twist the words written down in the legal code to benefit himself and his client and maximize the amount of money he's going to get. So
absolutely.
It doesn't become
it's legal plunder. Just look at these stupid, twisty, crappy light bulbs that don't even light up a room.
Right, you know, and then you have to call the EPA if you break them because they're full of mercury.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah. But I have a solution. Here's what we're going to start doing. Instead of having all these dystopian novels and movies, and I just watched Brave New World in the past week or two. I watched the 1980 and the 1998 version. And Lenina Huxley in the 98 version was pretty hot. But what we're going to start doing, and maybe you guys want to do a little 2-minute segment in The Fiends to where you do like a horizontal liberation soap opera. Instead of the dystopian stuff, we're going to do the LIDPAIR stuff. So instead instead of, you know, going to the cryo chamber where the babies are manufactured, you're going to have, let's say, a homeschooler explaining, well, this is how things were when the state was still there, but then it crumbled. And then a little child will say, well, how did people survive before Hassel Doctrine was enacted?
Hassel Doctrine,
I think that's a great idea. Yeah, I've thought of that before, you know, that there should be more fiction out there that shows the way things should work. Or at least the way things work without evil aggression in society. And I'd be willing to write something up like that and maybe work on Michael with it. And any of you fiends out there, if you've got things you want to submit, fan fiction, fiend fiction, definitely send that to TalkBack, and we'll see if we can voice them or edit them and put them up on the air. That'd be great.
Yeah, and I can just picture DJ doing the voiceover of the homeschooling mom explained to a little kid. Now, so we had this thing, it was called the state, and then it was chewing on its own tail and thrashing around in the acid bath like the T-1000, and it just fell apart because it was so inept and corrupt.
That'd be really good. Have DJ voice the woman, and
I'll do the little kid.
She's good at those things. Kid. She's good at those things.
No, Nima
you know,
can
like
be,
kind of complies them.
Nima can be, yeah. Nima can be the little kid, and I'll be the cop who comes in and says, "No, it's all just a dream. On your knees, dirty hippie." And then you, and then DJ, yeah. DJ can pour the wine on my shoe.
Yeah, I got one more piece of horizontal liberation, and then I'll let you guys get back to normal stuff. I was listening to a local talk show yesterday, mostly because I was driving around at the time and I didn't change the radio station. But anyway, this woman host is talking about all this freedom and all this other crap. And then the idea of helmet laws comes up. And she's like, "Oh no, everybody must wear a helmet, you know, when riding a motorcycle and all this other stuff." And this guy calls in who's lifelong motorcyclist. He's probably been riding longer than I've been alive. And he says, "Well, basically, when you're wearing the helmet and you fly, it's kind of a directional thing, and it throws you off balance and this, that, and the other thing." He's talking about basically how a helmet just keeps your brains in one place when you land.
Yeah.
And
it makes your head heavier, so you fall down forward, right?
Right, right. But after making all this sense, she's like, "Well, I think everybody should wear them." And then another guy calls in and says, "I don't ride a motorcycle, but I think everybody should wear a helmet." And it's just a matter of everybody wants to get involved in everybody's life. If you don't ride a motorcycle, shut the pie hole.
Since its formation in 1997,
we're out now, and I gotta
teaching free market ideas and skills,
because we gotta let this guy from Prague call in.
Africa youth pinned into compliance. When you're not busy spying on your neighbors or squinting at everyone, tell anyone who will listen why more government is a good thing. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling demanding more taxes and arguing in favor of gun control while militarizing our police, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
That is so square. Check out the additional Freedom Fiends show, Freedom Fiends Live, every Sunday on the LRN.FM streaming feed or satellite radio.
Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker inside a mountain near an undisclosed location in the rural Wild West of the occupied states of America.
Freedom Fiends Live expands on the Fiends weekly Wednesday podcasts, but now we're kicking the hornet's nest live. Talk back to the back talkers every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time. From the makers of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, Freedom Fiends Live. Call in soon before we get droned.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games,
used and more. Nima, you there?
The department store at your fingertips.
Yo, so it's the last segment coming up. Let's keep Vaclav on. We'll start the segment by doing the drawing with DJ, and then we'll let's talk to Vaclav till the show's over, because I want to hear more about
why did you move
former
to the
communist countries.
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take the liberty just as seriously as I do.
Okay.
I moved to the Shire should be able because to I look saw at videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could
Nima, look at the site.
Myself.
Look at freedomfiends.cz. It looks awesome.
Right now.
All right, let me check
I wanted
it out.
To be around people like me who got it. And once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
Immigrating to the Shire was easy. I was instantly plugged into
so,
the
left side is in
also care about peace,
check.
Liberty,
the right side's
and justice,
in,
and are willing to
English,
do something
perfect.
About
yep.
it.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure.
It's
and
really
for
awesome,
the
man.
Feeling of
yeah.
something important is happening here, and I just
we are international.
To sort of be part of that.
Beautiful.
Visit Shire.
I mean, it looks kind of crappy. My two column setup. I'll work on that a little bit, but maybe put a line
liberty,
down between them.
You should immigrate to the Shire.
A line between
plus,
them and
yourself to the
lift
Shire
up
map.
The
Shire Society.
I know. I can't
the
lift
right
up the
Shire
I can't lift up the right side, man. It's that's why no one uses tables anymore in web design. It's really like 1995 because they it's impossible to format them correctly.
Our signal covers nearly
okay.
all
Let's
of
see,
North
how can
America.
I put a line?
All you need is a view of
what?
The southern sky,
actually,
an affordable
it's
receiver,
an addition to I could put it up maybe later if you want.
Oh, okay. Let me know if you do, though, because then I'll re-download it in case I add to it anything so it doesn't overwrite it.
This is a good delivery method for our content.
Yeah, I'm too nervous now, so I will do it after the call.
Okay. Are you going to want to stay on and talk? or you're too nervous?
Yeah. Today, tips okay. Brought to you by Bruce Kit Essentials, nutritionally complete.
No, we love it, man. We'll my wife's gonna do the drawing for our contest first, and then we'll just let you talk. We'll talk with you till we go out at the end.
Serve 3 servings of vegetables and 2 servings of fruit daily. Remember, a serving could just mean a piece of fruit or a half cup of veggies. If your kids are picky eaters, ask a nutritionist about other sources. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/.
I love all the diacritical marks in
the Liberty Radio Network on the
in
air
check.
In your area.
It looks like
visit
knives and looks violent to me.
To learn how. Broadcast.lrn.
It looks pretty. FM. It's flowing.
So we're back on Freedom Fiends.
Jamming on the fiends.
We, if people want to go to freedomfiends.cz now, it is in Czech and English. We're doing web design while we're doing on the breaks here with our Czech webmaster or Czech master, as we call Vaclav.
Czech master general.
Yeah. You know, there's a DVD of the movie Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow with Czech subtitles burned into it. I should put that up on the server.
There you go.
Secretly. Yep. I'd have to do that secretly, but there's no secret. So DJ, mix mistress DJ, how you doing there, baby doll?
Hey, DJ.
I'm fine.
Yeah?
Yes.
Get in here. Get closer to the mic.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And
yes, sir.
I'll get my whip out. All right. So we got this. Let's describe the bowl. This brass bowl belonged to my mother. And
oh, wow. Lots of tone there.
It's from her store, Oriental Bazaar. It's a the Oriental Bazaar, where I grew up lying on Persian rugs, as did Nima. but they were, because he was Persian. So
we didn't lie on them. We sat on them cross-legged, eating rice.
I sat on them cross-legged, listening to Jimi Hendrix on headphones. So this is a prayer bowl from Thailand. DJ has we had 12 entries. We have little names on strips of paper printed out, and DJ is stirring the pot. Hi, baby doll.
Hello.
Nima, can you do a drum roll?
Waka waka waka.
All right, drum roll, please. DJ, who is the winner? Just give the first name and last initial. Who is the winner of our contest? Who wins the Freedom Fiends calendar?
Sean C. D.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh well, I guess I have a recording of it, so I'll know. Okay, that's the winner. Now we have a runner up too.
Runner up. What does the runner up get?
Copy of the movie and some data discs of Freedom Fiends to hand out to friends.
And of course, the winner gets Freedom Fiends
Randall
calendar.
Randall P.
All right. So Sean C. Duvee and Randall P. should email us their addresses and we'll send that stuff out promptly. Yay.
Yay. All right. Congratulations, folks.
I am. All right. That's our contest. So I'm looking at the freedomfiends.cz website, and it's so awesome. It's bilingual. It's Czech and English. It's got all the Freedom Fiends on it, and you can download the Guns and Weed movie there in a good-looking encode that I encoded, so it looks better than all the crap on YouTube that fans have done. God bless them, but, you know, I had it from the source. I had it coming out of the computer that it was made in.
Yep, wasn't a copy of a copy.
Nope, it was just a copy. So,
yep.
So, I mean, digitally, you can make a copy of a copy and it's perfect, but not when you re-render it. So
right.
Go to freedomfiends.cz, share that with friends, the Freedom Fiends drone-proof bunker in beautiful, beautiful, sunny downtown Prague. And we got someone from beautiful, sunny downtown Prague here on the phone with us. Vaclav, how you doing?
I'm doing still great.
Cool, man. So tell us more about living in a country that was communist until you were 3 and now it's not, and then it may be edging back towards tyranny or not. Talk about that, please.
Okay, so first I would start with answering a question Nima had before. How is it living here? When I have to compare it to the US, and I've been only in Texas and New York, it's not really that different. Maybe people are less friendly or like mind their business more.
Where? Here or there?
To the other hand, I don't really feel much difference. And with time progressing, we are getting more and more stuff here, like Starbucks and
cell phones.
We have the cell phones like probably the same year as they were.
I know,
because
I'm just saying that
after revolution, but like it's just the science of. I don't know, modern society, probably not postmodern society, corporative society, whatever you want to call it. I mean, so we get a Burger King and Starbucks in 3 years ago.
Yes.
And it was like the last things which, you know, making us close to the first world countries, if you want to say it that way.
Well, what about cops there? Because I'm from Texas, and I know, at least where I lived in Austin, there's cops everywhere. They pull you over all the time. They make you pay them a bunch of money. Are there a lot of cops, and do they harass people a lot for the average person living in Prague?
Actually, you can't really see them out on the streets much. But what they do, and what is an interesting concept, what they have is there is a private-owned company which is providing to the cities, which have a municipal police, a service of measuring speed. So they hide the speed checkers, or like they mount them somewhere on, you know, like really clean type of or clean piece of road where you can't have any danger. It's, I don't know, a few hundred meters or a few hundred yards before the end of the city. So really clear roads, no problem there, no danger. So people are, you know, hiring the speed or speeding. And these things make a picture of them. And this privately owned company is taking like 60% of what they get on the fines, and the rest of the money the city keeps. And it's based basically as a tax.
Yeah.
Because the city is counting with the money from fines in their budgets. So the municipal police really has a limit of, a minimum limit of money they have to take out from people each day.
So how does it work then? They mail you a bill and you get it in your mailbox, and then you have to pay the fee?
Yeah, basically. I mean, like they invite you to give them the explanation, and then they give you the fine. It's not automatic process that they will send you just a ticket to your mailbox. You can get out of it, actually, mm-hmm. but it's still pretty difficult.
What about violence from police?
You have individual cases from time to time, but nothing really that big. I mean, police has very, very little authority in here, so people are not taking them seriously.
Prague was the first place I ever saw a military person with a machine gun in an airport. And now that's more common in America.
That's interesting. I don't know. Like if that was just a random thing.
Maybe it was because
soon after 9/11.
Maybe it was because I was flying that day.
Probably.
Hey, how'd you discover the Freedom Fiends, Vaclav? And am I saying your name right? Is it Vaclav?
No, actually, it's Vaclav. So you don't pronounce it as K, but as a C, as in word circle.
Okay. Vaclav. Okay.
It's like loving a voice. That's lovely voice.
The love of a voice. Okay, Vaclav. Because, you know, I've heard it mispronounced because wasn't your old president named Vaclav?
Yeah, our old president and our new president is also named Vaclav.
Is that like John Smith, John there, a common name?
I don't know. This is like, the Vaclav is like the fifth most popular name in here.
It was because in the movie Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, we interviewed Lou Reed, who was a fan of Hubert Selby. And he said, I've only interviewed two people. One was Hubert Selby and one was Vaclav Havel, the president of Czech Republic. And he mispronounced the name of the guy. So I thought he was right, because I always thought Lou Reed was a smart guy. Yeah,
I mean, like I'm used to it because everybody is calling me Vaclav, but you know, everywhere in the world, basically, you see you read CSK, but here you just read as C.
Wasn't Václav Havel kind of a young, hip, rock and roll liking guy?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say that he was really young. He passed out last December, or actually this December, December 2011. And he wasn't that young. And I mean, actually, I would say that he was pretty progressive, left kind of aimed, like more like elitist, like saying that there should be a group of people which are telling the other people what to do because they are not smart enough to figure it out for themselves.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say being president kind of disqualifies you from being hip, Michael.
Yeah, I was going by what Lou Reed. Lou Reed was impressed, but you know he's an old hippie,
old square,
an old punk.
Yeah.
So, Václav is now. Am I saying it right, Václav?
No, it's Václav. There is no K.
Václav.
Václav. Ugh, I'm so American. I'm having trouble with this.
So,
so is Europe more one worldy UN? We must have a world government than America. Do you think? We're going out here. Answer in 30 seconds.
I don't think that the UN is a big deal in here. It's more the EU, the European Union.
It's kind of your mini UN, EU. Huh? Talk about the EU for 30 seconds, if you'd like.
I think he's only got 15 left.
I don't know. Like, they now built some safety barrier for the Eurozone, which basically put the egg on him, or prolonged the agony.
If you're looking for
okay, we're out. Cool, man. That was fun. Fucks love.
Yeah, thanks. Elevator speech. We appreciate it.
Okay.
I apologize if I can't say your name right. Can you say it one more time for me?
Listener want to listen more.
But don't worry about
it. Okay. Effective communication skills.
Well, cool, man. I appreciate all you've done for us too.
Money and attention so scarce now.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks, man. Worms.
Thanks for being on the show.
Worms.
Bye bye.
As though it was the last word. The person you're speaking to.
That was fun, man.
Otherwise, that might be.